What?
What?
They didn't hear anything.
Oh, we're muted?
We're off to a terrible start.
Are we good now?
We're good. We are good.
Start
now.
Over. So,
welcome to episode 198. What can go wrong this time?
Right on. So, yeah, so everybody who doesn't know, we've tried to have Henry on a couple of times now, and we lost the internet one time, and then he had a storm out at his place in Cali and wiped out his power, and this is what try number three, and we're waiting on him to get here. We don't know what's happening, but
I think he's coming in now, so we got our fingers crossed. But episode 198 again, what can go wrong this time? We had no sound to start, no guest to start. It looks like our guest might be joining now. But if you don't know, now you guys are going to know. Henry is the curator of the infamous No Hold Bars Real BMX over on Facebook. It is where you go for No Hold Bars BMX action. It is always spicy and juicy over there. And we appreciate each and everybody tuning in this evening. It's going to be a good show. It's the it's just another fun Wednesday night here.
Yeah, we'll get it going.
We'll get her going.
Let's plug our sponsors real quick here.
Well, first and foremost, we're coming to you live from the Ethan Clark Studios here in the wonderful, busy Heartland Township. It is beautiful. Gray, as always, in Michigan.
Oh, especially this time.
Yeah.
Well, Chris should be starting to brighten up a little bit.
Hopefully this weekend we can get out to our track work days all over the country, especially here in the East or in the Midwest and the East Coast.
Oh, yeah.
Tracks are getting reopened. And, you know, Chris made a post. We'd like to hear where you guys are going to be at this weekend. If you guys can, let us know. Follow that post. Speaking of posts, our chat question is being posted here in momentarily. So if you guys haven't done it, get over there. But first and foremost, Chris and I are at the Dye Job Apparel News Desk. Dye Job Apparel. When you want the best in apparel, brand swag, make sure you guys check out Dye Job Apparel. Elevate your brand today with Dye Job Apparel. And being that they bring the breaking news desk, that we very rarely have news, but for the last three shows we've had, we've got news.
We got something.
And check it out from our friends at BMX Racing Supply. He said, hey, you get free stickers when you order products from us. I immediately went and put an order in because I love stickers. And I got myself
Justin got the
Rhythm Dice Rock set.
Yeah.
And I got this fancy bike lock that is the pocket bike lock, which is really rad.
That thing is really
cool.
There
you go. And you just put it around your bike, lock it up. Pretty cool. And very portable.
It's very light. I mean, this thing will fit in the front pocket of your jeans. It's that.
See, notice I ordered it, so Chris is going to do the extended plug for a bro deal.
Hey, that's right. But I paid full price. I'm getting a deal.
I just wanted a free. I wanted more stickers.
Like this one right here.
And I'll tell you what, fast. Shipping was fast. It was right at the house. Melissa's off this evening, and Detroit Velvet Smooth is going to be filling in for her at the Gate 9 custom number plate desk in the back at the perch. Yep. Probably not a lot to say, as you can tell.
He keeps to himself.
He keeps to himself back there. Danger Snacks brings our guest who has joined us here. We'll have him on screen in a second. Danger Snacks. It's that snack that's the difference between dragon ass or hauling ass. Yep. Make sure you guys get over and use our discount code SHITSHOW when you order for 10% off, or it might be 15%. Yes. So speaking of our chat question this evening, we got a good one for you. Because I saw one of those memes that hit the other day that said how old this soundtrack was, and then I realized how old I was. But I got thinking, like, man, how cool, like, I can remember soundtracks I listened to from bike riding.
Right.
So I want to know, like, what's your favorite soundtrack? It doesn't have to be a BMX one.
Right.
You know, but a movie soundtrack, your favorite movie soundtrack, you know, that you could put in before, you know, streaming services came about and you actually listened to the whole soundtrack, the whole album. Like, what was your favorite movie soundtrack that you'd listen to? Do you remember one that sticks out?
Well, I know Top Gun was always a good one.
Danger Zone, son!
Right?
That better get you fired up!
You know what else had a good one, but it's going to sound really
strange. I bet you just take my breath away on the Top Gun.
Pretty Woman.
Pretty Woman was a good one?
Was all a right. good soundtrack. If you go back and look at that soundtrack, there's some good stuff on there.
Really?
But Top Gun, man, that had some good stuff on it, too.
I had Matrix. That was my go-to.
Was it?
Yeah, I love that.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Heard it? I mean, I know you've seen the movie.
No, I haven't.
What
I've
the?
I've not seen that movie.
Well,
go again with the movie.
It's, you know, it took us 3 years to get you to see Anchorman, which was already 15 years old 3 years ago or more. So we'll get you there.
I'm just going to have you one of these days just write me a list of all these movies, and I'll just start.
You'll watch
them,
and there'll be so many references. Like, oh, that's what he was. That's okay. Lightning Round tonight is brought to you by 110 Nutrition for the best in the supplements you can get. 110 Nutrition, all things BMX for your 10% discount. And our show doesn't happen without the following supporters here. We love to give them a shout out. So when you guys are shopping for your BMX needs, make sure you shop these companies first. Ghetto Wear, you can find them over on Facebook. They hat stickers. They make gear bags. Like, they make the best gear bag for your gear. Make sure you guys get over and check them out. The Hack Shack, our good friends over there, homie Mike. If you need a side hack built, make sure you hit up the Hack Shack. Our good friends at DB Sports World out in New York. Mega Design Group. Chris just dropped an order over there.
Oh, talk about service. You know, you're talking about BMX race supplies. You know, Brian Fell, Mega Design Group. I ordered this thing, and in a week and a half, I have a custom canopy at my door.
Sidewalls and everything.
I got the half walls and the whole all things BMX show.
Yeah.
Set up.
So. Last but not least, because we gave them a plug already, BMX Race Supply. Get over there. They got more than just the rhythm dice and the locks. See, they got the training tools and all kinds of stuff, t-shirts and hats and hoodies. Go check them out. All the links
and
for.
And you get stickers.
You get stickers. We got like four different kinds here, man. Who doesn't love stickers?
We got a whole pile of them.
All right, we're going to welcome our guest in now. He's made it, ladies and gentlemen. We're so excited. And we have mute off.
Henry.
It's sunny outside, no tornadoes, no hail, no sleet, no wind.
Oh, good.
That was crazy. The one time when you guys got cut off by the winter storms, and then I guess I had to kind of match the performance. So.
Right. Well, hopefully we'll make it through tonight and we'll be all right.
Oh, it's going to be a good show.
It's an honor to be here. It's good to see you guys. And,
yeah, it's good to see you.
Say hi to everybody. Yeah, it's
Woo!
So, what can I say?
Yeah, we worked through all that stuff. So what's new with you, Henry? What's going on?
Well, Chris, I got to side with you on the thing about not seeing movies. I'm not a movie person myself. You know, the thing that took you like 3 years to see, Anchorman, and the movie was 15 years old. I'm the same way. I'm not gonna lie.
But do you have a movie album that you like?
A movie soundtrack, yes.
Oh, yes.
The Great Rock and Roll Swindle by the Sex Pistols.
Goddamn right. That's a good one.
Oh.
Mm, okay. Good call. Well played. Well played.
See that guitar in the back, that Gibson SG?
Yeah.
All about Steve Jones, man.
Yeah.
Like it.
Gotta have a guitar.
Well, I had this question I wanted to fire off because I think we were getting close to this, or we might have dabbled when you were on before.
We may revisit the same questions again.
I'll tell you, what was fun was the you got hit with a storm, and it put us on our heels. Like, what do we do? So it gave us a good, gave us back, kind of like taking us back to our first season when stuff would crash all the time. Like, took us, we're like, all right, let's go. We kind of just, I think we took some phone calls.
I think you had Hollywood on.
Just did what we could. Yeah, a lot of people, again, for those tuning in again, they jumped right in to help. It was cool because we had some phone calls and it was good. But, the question I wanted to jump into was, let's dive into this, all right. What is Henry's current view of the state of BMX racing here in the United States?
Well, every year I do that count, right?
Yeah, we talked about it a little
numbers.
Bit. Yep.
I do that count where I take the overall numbers, this year the numbers are a little bit lower than last. But I have to add that, I talked to a lot of people in the bike industry, and they tell me that the bike sales room, BMX bike sales. I mean, I'm talking dirt jumpers and things like that. I'm talking like the BMX type dirt jumpers, not like the 26 inch, like the one I've been riding a lot lately. So bike sales are up. People are going out there. BMX is never going to die. Like I've always said, if you got a dirt pile and you can fly off the thing and you can, slide out in the dirt and everything, that's BMX, But as far as the racing aspect of it goes, the sanctioned end of it, where you have actual registered numbers, I think the numbers are a little bit lower this year.
Hmm.
And also, excuse me, allergies. The number of tracks has decreased a little bit, not by much. It's kind of like a little know, does a little fluctuation every once in a while.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But, you know, it's kind of, it needs to be revitalized. But I think events like Dirty Fest and Frogtown and the one race in Texas, which I hope to go to one of these days, those things are what's one of the things keeping things alive. You don't get a huge turnout at these events. It's not like a 500 moto national or something like that. No, it's actually a fun, you know, they're fun events. And those things, I think if anything can revitalize BMX racing, it's those events. And, you know, Mike Miranda, Justin Shepard, Vicente, Eric Carter, they do a great job with Dirty Fest, and Todd Huffman and Jim Broadlow, John Valdez, all those folks, they do a great job with Frogtown. And
right.
Here's the part where I'm like the most ignorant fool in the face of the earth. I didn't even know it was a series. And then they announce these series points. I go, wait, what? This was a series? And they're like, oh, great. Now he's going to drop out of it because it's a series. No, I don't care what I get. At Frogtown, I raced five classes. Ask Mike Melvin. He'll tell you. Every time he saw me, he thought I needed oxygen. I did.
Yeah. Mike will take care of you.
Hey, I got a quick question for you from the chat. This is from Mike Miranda, actually. He must have heard us talking about him. We summed him right up. He said, hey, what was your biggest highlight at last year's Dirty Fest that involved him?
Involved him.
You know how he was.
Mike.
I shared a story with him about my metal shop teacher back in high school. He had a name for me. So my last name is Sarria in Spanish, you know, of course, but Sarria is how, you know.
Oh, and you've been saying it wrong.
He used to call me sorry ass. my old metal shop teacher. So I told that to Miranda, and Miranda, hey, sorry ass, and he kept calling me all weekend.
And now it's that forever.
But you know the thing with Mike, there's so many cool stories with him. I mean, I was just thinking about this a little bit ago. You know, in the 1980s, when Mike was really, you know, at the top of his game, you know, he was a rider that everybody aspired to be like. There's a reason why he can put on a great show. They didn't call him Hollywood for nothing. He earned that name because he is the master showman.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not a class act. He is class. There's no act involved. He is class. He is the guy. You know, I remember when him and Tommy Brackens were roommates, and that's another class person right there, is Tommy Brackens. I was stoked to hear that Gary Turner is releasing a frame line with Tommy Brackens' signature. But, you know, Miranda, that just got dropped on me, you know, and I was like, wow, that's really cool, you know? And, you know, Mike is just, he is the showman. I mean, I think that he can take any event and just turn it into just the most fun thing imaginable. And Dirty Fest was a classic example. And he had a lot of help, too. I mean, you know, Eric Carter and Vicente and Shepard and
those,
you know,
guys are working their tails off getting this thing going.
Yeah, even Mike's favorite oldest son. It's crazy. It was a good time. We had a great time, and you know, a big reason of that is because of Mike. I mean, he lived up to the name Hollywood. He was a show person, just, you know, fantastic. Yeah, he still is. I mean, that was, is. There's no was behind us. It's he's, no, he's still consistent.
He's a good guy. Yeah.
Good heart,
chat
great
with him
heart.
Every now and then, back and forth. So he's a really good guy.
Got a question. What are you going back to the BMX racing? We'll come back to the old school stuff because that's getting a lot of popularity in the chat. And there was some other things we had to talk about that too. But you were saying that you kind of saw the numbers go down a little bit, and then you had the rise of these classic shows, events that they're doing. Any thoughts that maybe the with the rising costs, you know, nationals now being $80, it's probably more like a culmination of the two. But I look at those events and they're primarily just on the West Coast minus Texas, right? Like, we don't have them out here on the East Coast yet or in the Midwest. But I'm wondering if like the rising costs is what's hitting hard and dropping some of them numbers. What's your take on that?
Oh, man, you know, the cost of things, everything's going up, and it's not, you know, people blame Biden and all this stuff. I'm like, I hate getting into politics. I'm
Mm-hmm.
I'm none of the above. It's my registration when I vote. I'm none of the above. I'm not a Democrat or Republican, conservative or liberal. Yeah. I'm none of the above. I'm an American. And I just legally became an American 4 years ago when I got my citizenship again for the second time. That's another story. But anyway,
congratulations.
Only me, right? But you know, the thing about it, you know, one of the things is in terms of politics, people have to realize that what's happening now is stuff that was, you know, designed a few years ago and it finally kicked in, you know. So it's like, you know, you can't blame it on any current administration or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's not politics that's raising the cost. It's the cost of doing business that's raising the cost. You know, insurance, for example. Insurance has increased because they know they can increase it and they got everybody by the short hairs and pulling hard. You know, you have to have insurance to have an event. That's as simple as that. But insurance companies know this and they monopolize on that or capitalize on it. And, you know, and also according to a very reliable source from the sanction themselves said to me that insurance companies don't want to insure BMX at all. They don't want to. So insurance costs is one of the big things that's driving the price up. You know, venue costs, you know, venues know that they can charge an unlimited amount of money.
That's a good point.
You know, so, hey, let's charge it. So then that cost trickles downward. You know, the trickle-down effect under Reagan was supposed to be wealth coming down to the poor. Now it's excessive prices working their way down to the poor. And I'm like I said, I'm not a political person, but I do study my history. I do study, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And you know, you can't talk about these things without knowing history, you know?
Yeah, the cost of stuff
is really high. It really is. And that's one of the things affecting BMX racing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just I think of hotels. Like,
yeah.
Jesus.
There's no cheap hotels.
No. My wife, she worked in the hotel industry for years. Mm-hmm. And she knows how to book a room cheap and everything like that. She's my travel agent. And, she also works for a public transportation company, you know, that has a shuttle that runs from Santa Barbara to or Goleta, Santa Barbara, Carpinteria, Camarillo down to LAX and back. And she knows that industry really well. And she says the hotels are just capitalizing on the fact that people are desperate to go places post pandemic. So they're capitalizing on that.
That's true.
Yeah. You know, and that stay to save thing. I've heard people do nothing but complain about it. And I'm like, well, why don't you just like get someone who knows the hotel industry and get something on your own? That's probably the best way to do it.
Man. Yeah. We had a friend that when she worked for one of the chains and man, it was nice. Yeah. When we went to,
hookups.
We went to the Old Fools in Cleveland.
Oh, at Ray's.
Stayed at this Cambry Hotel, which is, it's a really nice place. And we checked in, paid and everything. And then another time when I looked at what those cost, I'm like, oh, no. But yeah, you find someone in the hospitality industry that can hook you up. That's the way to go.
Yep.
Yeah. That's and you know, the thing is they got to make their money, too. They've got, you know, raising food costs. You know, another thing that affects hotels, again, insurance.
Yeah. Yeah, yep. For sure.
Have you ever seen an insurance rate go down from the year before?
Never.
No.
It's an impossibility.
That's
realistically and mathematically. It's no.
It's like your health insurance, right? We just renewed that at work and, you know, we're trying to find the best deal for the employees and it goes up every year. It doesn't even stay flat. It always goes up. I mean, your medical insurance.
A little secret I'm going to share about insurance, and this is something that I discovered several years ago. If this is for health insurance, if you ever have an injury or an illness or something like that, that requires a procedure. Okay. And they turn it down, call them up and ask them why they turn it down. And then when they finish talking, say, excuse me, I need to talk to your HIPAA officer. Pardon my expression, they will shit their pants because nobody discussing your case can be discussing your case. They're not HIPAA certified.
Mm.
But the moment you get the HIPAA guy on, we'll approve it. We'll approve it right away. So it's a little secret I learned a few years back.
All right.
I figured I'd share it with everybody, you know?
Yeah, that's good.
Not that I ever had to have any procedures done, but it was one of those things that a friend that had a serious illness, cancer. He had to get the procedures. And he was getting turned down. He'd say, let me talk to your hip officer. And all of a sudden, the procedures got approved. So something good to consider.
Right. You know? Yeah. Okay.
Hey, they're sticking it to us. Might as well figure out a way to stick it to them, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, no, that you know, and then.
That's why I don't pay for car insurance. I ain't paying for that stuff.
Dude, you gotta have car insurance.
It's only recommended. You gotta have a note on your car from the enforcement anyway.
Now, car insurance and health insurance are two different worlds.
No, that's, but neither one of them ever go down.
No, I'll tell you what, car insurance definitely. All I've done is gotten better driving records, and it's never went down.
Yeah.
You know, like, you think when you're younger, like the speeding tickets you'd pile up or, you know, crashes or whatever. Then I learned about insurance points, that those are different than your driving points, and they last longer. So in the industry, they'll actually stay on your insurance record longer, right? But, like, I don't have any. But I haven't had anything forever. They still doesn't go down.
Driving school.
Yeah, driving school.
Yeah, look.
You get a ticket, get driving school. Off from driving school. It's, you know.
Yeah.
Gate and Billy from Gate 9 can tell you, like, that money that they're making in Michigan off that insurance, it doesn't go to our roads because you're just replacing rims and tires all the time.
Yeah.
There was a movie in the 1980s. It was a comedy. It was with Jim Belushi's brother, John Belushi. It was about a scam these cops had about giving people tickets, and they had to go to driving school. And, of course, the driving school was charging them all this money. And then the driving test that they designed, it was like the average person couldn't pass it. I forgot the name of the movie. When I find out, I'll let you know. But it was a really funny movie.
And then they have to take the course again. Somebody in the chat will know what it is.
So thank you for the answering like the question, you know, because really when we talked about, Melissa and I talked about, you know, oh, the Nationals. I was like, I can't see with food, hotels, you know, gas goes up and down. So that's kind of just one of those things. Yeah. But the rest of, to be honest, the cost of the National part was kind of at the bottom. But, man, with everything else in there, it was just like, yeah, we'll do probably in our area, like that are close to us. We'll do the two by us maybe. But I didn't really see like, you know, chasing to get qualified, you know, like even Tulsa's like, probably just go. We'll be qualified for a plate. Just go hang out with everybody. You know, that's like cutting back and doing more local stuff or semi-local.
Right. State series.
Yeah. That stuff. Yep.
Yeah.
But even that's getting expensive too. Even that, you know, Gold Cup and state are getting very expensive as well. You know, it's just economically, we're in a good economy, believe it or not. I mean, I keep hearing, you know, woes of the economy and stuff like that. I go, I've been getting, here I am retired. I'm getting job offers come work for this company or that company. I'm retired now. Right. The economy's good. Jobs are there, you know, and everything. The problem is that everything is costing more. And you have to look at the basic factors. They're not political factors. They're social and business factors that are or economic factors leading connected to businesses that's causing the rise of everything to go up. Well, but even state races are costly now.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to one of these races and you go out to eat after the race, it costs a whole lot more today to go out to eat than it did 2 years ago.
Four people's $100 bill anywhere.
Pretty much. Yeah.
So your state series is vast. I mean, you guys got north and south, but I know, like, we look at our schedule. What do we have? 9 tracks?
I believe 9, yes.
You know, and it's, and that's a lot of weekends. And then I see, like, NorCal, SoCal, like, whoa. Yeah. I don't know how much, I think to myself, like, how much longer are we going to do that game until they can get together and start doubling down on weekends? I don't know. Is that anything that's happening in your state series where this track does like a Saturday, that track does a Sunday, and they're both state races, but maybe the tracks are close together? Is there any kind of continuity with that?
I just saw a post by Whittier Narrows, and it's really sad what happened with Whittier Narrows. That whole thing was just like,
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into that right now. But,
moving violations, 1985, Stu Thompson for the win.
Thank you, Stu.
I do remember that.
Oh, God.
Just chimes in.
Hey, I didn't do that, right?
Well, he's with the Sheriff's Department. Or, well, he's retired.
Retired.
From the Sheriff's
retired.
Department.
Tough job. Tough job. He's got a lot of cool stories.
Oh,
You know, some are crazy. So this weekend, not this weekend, I'm sorry, the weekend of the, I believe it's the 19th and the 20th or something like that. I don't, you know, I don't follow these things too much. I don't race sanctioned anymore. I just do off events and stuff, do a lot of riding. But there's one where Whittier Narrows is having a race, state race, and then the next day Grand Prix is having, just down the road. Mm-hmm. You know, but, you know, there was a time when we had a lot of closer tracks out here, you know, and there was weekends where, you know, like, for example, Ealing's Park in Santa Barbara would have a race, so would Camarillo, so would Ventura, you know, but Ventura's gone. Ealing's Park is, it sits there. It's not, to my understanding, it's not being used. You know, Sycamore BMX is gone. You know, those were tracks. Those were four tracks that were within an hour. And Santa Maria is gone, too. Those are five tracks within 2 hour radius. And, you know, if you were in Santa Barbara, if you did a race in Santa Barbara and Santa Maria, that'd be one direction. If you did Santa Barbara, Camarillo, or Camarillo, Ventura, or Ventura, Sycamore, they were all within down the road from each other. But that's gone now. You know, it's a different picture now. Way different.
Yeah, I know. We did that one year in Michigan where we ran them close, ones that were close to each other, a Saturday, Sunday deal. And it seemed to work well, but then I think some of the tracks started thinking, well, you know, we could do two races in the weekend instead of one, and, you know, that type of thing. But
yeah. Just curious.
You know, in the NBL, the way it ran on weekends for state qualifier, it was 2 days of racing.
Mm-hmm.
Even the state championship was 2 days of racing.
Yep.
So another thing, too, is the state championship wasn't determined by what track has most signups or most memberships. It was rotated.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
They did a different track every year, so there was no advantage, you know. But it was 2 days of racing, day one, day two. And it was a great series. I loved it. First of all, three moto, total points. You know, every round counted because mm-hmm. your points were determined by every round, not just the main. The main was just for a trophy. But 2 days of racing too. That was a great thing about it, and I miss that. You know, if they started doing that all over again, you know, that same format, I'd be back. But it's not gonna happen.
Well, that's very similar to the Florida series, how they've run theirs. It's very similar, if not exactly the same, as the old NBL state series.
There's a couple other states doing that too.
Yeah,
they still use transfer system. They're not using moto total points.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, they do that.
They're using the rotating, you know, they're rotating the tracks for the state series there. But yeah, you're right to transfer things. And, well, be fair, in Florida, their state series are putting out numbers bigger than national. So I see where they want to stick with the transfer stuff.
Yeah.
My home state, man. You know, I'm going to say Florida. The numbers, and, you know, going into my count that I'm working on, the numbers in Florida are the numbers that are going up.
Well, Florida's. We hear it a lot, is in Florida, the people stay in Florida. So they do. I mean, I've been fortunate enough to go down there and see the majority of a state series and be there for their award ceremony. And look, it's going to sound like shade, but I'm not. I'm just saying that their award ceremony is better than what happens at the Grands. Like, it is a full half day with, like, sound system, lights, and I don't know how many volunteers. The SSA does a fantastic job with that. And I mean, I sat back and watched and saw how it hit the kids, right? Because they set the trophies up across the stage with their number plate, and they've got announcers up there, announcers that, you know, they do they're like the master of ceremonies. And so they're calling these people up to get their awards, and it is a full on thing. And I'm like, there's not many other sports, period, that their year-end awards is a big production like this. And my understanding, you know, you guys can check me in the chat, because I'm speaking from 2 years ago when I was there, that they outgrew a 3,600 to, I believe, 4,000 room capacity. They outgrew that. And now, to like what you were saying, with their numbers going up, you know, when you have a product like that, that is that well ran, that well promoted, you don't need to travel out of your state to go kind of fill that juice, you know?
No.
When you got a state series race that you can show up on Friday, get practice, two practices in, long practices, and then, you know, go to bed early.
20 minutes?
No. Go to bed, and then, you know, there Friday, you're out at a good time, you're out or good on Sunday. I mean, we talked actually, we were on this topic before the show started, that there's people that fly into Florida. They like fly from California to Florida, from Georgia to Florida. One of our future guests, Tom Johnson, he does the commute to Florida, like to race the state series.
Yeah.
And you don't need, like, your numbers, you don't need to feed the rest of the system when it's that good.
That's a great point. You know, it's interesting about the Florida State Series, the SSA. They're the ones that are keeping pro racing alive. Seriously, the National Series really isn't doing it. In Florida, you get all these pros that show up out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just legit pros, too. I'm not talking like no name, you know, hey, this guy just, you know, I raised $5,000 on GoPro to be a pro, and here I am, you know. No, I'm talking about real legit pros. Secondly, there's a reason why people travel to that series. You know, it's very welcoming. I think it is.
It is.
The only thing that sucks now, in my humble opinion, you know, is that there was a time where you could win a Florida State plate. If you weren't from Florida, you could be from Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, New York, California, Washington State.
You still can.
I don't know. Can you? I mean,
yeah, you just got to. You got to do so.
That's kind of.
You can. Yes, you can. Their built-in bonus points is kind of difficult because they do really heavy points on locals. So if you do X amount of locals, you get a good chunk of bonus points. I feel like that's cool. That's cool because that keeps that pushes people back to your locals. And I want to say it's by a certain date and a certain amount. There's some people starting to chime in from Florida on this, so I'll keep my eye over here.
I bet you Alice is.
But it's a good, like, I felt even when I was down there, like, this is a cool incentive. It's like 10 locals by this, you know, this point in the season early, you get, you know, this many bonus points. But I missed it by one qualifier, and I was still Michigan, but I was down there for work. So I know I missed it. It was my own thing. I sat out one of the races because I had friends in and I just was there hanging out with everybody. But you totally can still get a point or a plate and not live in the state.
Good.
That other part is built in to push people to them locals. And because you got to get them in by a certain date. And it is, I've been there a couple years back when you're getting to that deadline and it's so. I didn't know what was going on. I was just out like, hey, I'm here. I got my bike. You know, it's the middle of winter up there. It's not here. And I had people going, hey, man, what track are you going to later? I'm like, what? What? Huh? And they're like, people are starting to scheme like where they're going to go. Because, you know, it's like, you know, you get first place in the locals. Those bonus points are greater than just doing the race, right? So they're scheming, going here, going there. And the new guy from Michigan, they're like, and I just told him like, y'all got nothing to worry about from me. It gets so cutthroat. I was at, it's 10 locals. I was at Cape Coral and I just pulled off in the second turn and took the mic with Nick and started announcing my race. I'm like, I don't want anything to do with these guys, but I love it because was a local that was getting spicy.
Dude, the last thing you want to do is show up at their race and mess up the whole thing.
I'm like, I'm all right with eighth and a local. I'm good. You guys go have fun. It was great.
You know, that guy from Michigan.
I'm glad to hear that the thing about the plates is settled because that was a big discontention between the mothership and SSA was, you know, that was for a while. And last I had heard, no, you couldn't earn a plate if you were from out of state. But I guess they figured that out. So that's awesome. I'm glad they did. If that is the case, awesome. Great for them. I think it promotes. And like I said, the Florida State Series is like a national series.
Oh, it is. Yeah. I think I think I've seen Scott down there. Old School's been at them before. I could be getting That's people low? Confused. Yeah. I mean, he's everywhere. So, but the setup for a state series is that I might be crossing him because he sets up at Nationals. He'll correct me. Right. But the setup for a state race looks like a national. Like, they've got all the feather flags on the infield. Dude, Shadow, like, they have a whole straightaway of feather flags. And it reminds you of like a supercross race, like motocross supercross, you know, like,
oh yeah,
you have all the crash covers or whatever, but like
tough blocks,
but you have like all the berms, just like at Nationals, have the feather flags. And you know, there's a lot of comments there. Connecticut and Oklahoma, they're the other two tracks. Thanks, Mo and John Ryan, thanks for the 10 locals. It's, you know, that gives it a cool vibe, right? And there's a couple comments in here too where they say probably cheaper to just race the state series, right?
Yeah.
Well, the state series in Florida, you know, going back to the 1970s, it was always big. Always has been. Even in the early days of NBL, 1974, and NPSA, 1975, you know, NBA, Ernie Alexander with the National Bicycle Association, California, was working in tandem with George Esser, NBL in Florida. And he was bringing pros from the West Coast over. And, you know, that's how Stu Thompson would show up to Florida. Perry Kramer would show up. Jeff Boutima. You know, all these guys. It was fantastic. Wow. And those races were huge. I mean, and that was 1974. But, you know, you have to remember, that's the heyday of BMX. And it was a new thing. And people were like, oh, yeah, we're all for us. You know, but it was great because right. – and then they had that Orange Bowl race when the Orange Bowl existed before it got torn down. A lot of cool stuff like that. Florida has always had it together. I being a native Floridian, well, half native, I was born in Cuba and raised in Miami, but, you know, a transplanted native. Right. But it makes me proud. It makes me proud of where I lived at for, you know, a good portion of my life. And I'm really proud of them, and I'm stoked for them. I think it's great.
So this is just sitting in here. You're talking about in 74, you know, Esser bringing the pros out from the West Coast. Like, how wild. There was no social media. Like, how wild would it be to show up to the track and, like, all those guys, and I'm assuming this was before I was in BMX, but, like, print would have really been the only media for BMX, right?
Right.
So just show up to the track. No social media, no internet, no, I mean, I doubt it was, like, was cable TV? Cable TV was around, but, I mean, it probably wasn't, like...
I don't remember.
78. Okay. 70s. So, you just show up, and there's those guys that you see in the magazine, like,
You see, like, PK and Stu and those guys. It's like, whoa.
You're just a Florida dude racing, or kid, you know? Yeah. And, like, boom, there they are.
I think PK came around a little bit later on, but in the early days, you definitely had Stu and the whole Webco team. It was Jeff Botima, Clint Miller... Jeff, Archie, Watson, you know, you had a bunch of these guys that came out from the West Coast for the series. And, it was amazing. It was great to have that, you know, it definitely, you know, people learn from each other. They, you know, a lot of learning experiences for everyone involved. You know, Ernie Alexander would bring all these people in from the West Coast, and George Esser was like, come on over. You know, it was great. It's Southern hospitality at its best.
God, there you go.
You had phones. Like, that's all you had. It's like, hey, man, come on out.
No, they were landline phones.
Yeah.
And, no cell phones.
With a long with a long kitchen cable on it.
Yes.
There's only a certain generation that knows what that reference is.
In the road.
And a hell of a phone bill.
Oh, that would be.
Oh, yeah.
You had those two guys back then, too, with this new sport, you know. Sure, they were connected somehow because of the sport, but there was a random phone call at one time from one to another. Like, hey, man. And, like, a lot of trust in there, you know? A lot of trust to go to some pros on the West Coast and be like, let's jump in a, I'm assuming it was probably a creeper van. Let's just take off to Florida. If it wasn't, it's what it is going to be in my mind from now on.
You know who has some of the best stories about that? Definitely is Stu.
He's been on stories.
He's talked about some of that.
When he was at the cruise, and he was showing, like, pictures of that the van that they took on tour that broke down.
Oh, the SC bus.
Oh. Those were yeah. Go back and rewatch. Well, you can get a lot of it from his documentary too. He does a good job.
Yes, the Stomp and Stew.
Now I'll promote. Really go back and watch our show. Like and subscribe. There you go, Chris.
There we go. Yeah, like and subscribe. Subscribe and like and subscribe.
Martin Kennard from Florida. He kind of helped clarify a little bit with. He said it's really hard. It's difficult to win top 10 due to points from local, and you got to do 16.
Whoa! You can do up to 16.
It's 16 locals. Gets you bonus points. So
there you go.
Thank you, guys.
Wow.
But, you know, hey, God, I think I could sit and ask a million questions about this, like NPS, NPS, right?
NPSA.
NPSA and, yeah. and you know, the Florida Pro Series that he had, the Esser had. I did want to ask you, though, because I don't know if we ever got into it. You know, you coming into America, right? Because we kind of touched on a little bit earlier, saying like
right.
rising costs and this and that. You came from a communist country, correct? All right, and Cuba. Just so people tune in, know.
No.
How, when you see that, like, what's going on here and what's going, you know, in Cuba now, like, what are the big things that you've taken away from your, like, immigrating into America and becoming a citizen? Some of those big things.
I might get a little emotional here. There is a story I share with everybody. Communism is a bad thing. I'm sorry. It's horrible. Communism is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know. The story is my mom is a little girl. She's going to laugh about this. She loves spam. Spam from a can.
Spam from a can.
Yep.
Yeah. She put on crackers and everything. And then those assholes, Castro and Guevara, took over. And they took all the Western goods off the shelf.
Ah.
And they replaced it with Russian goods. And the Russian spam, it tasted like kerosene. It was horrible. My mom. So she was convinced she'd never have spam ever again. It's a luxury she never had. So in 67, we got kicked out of the country. They have a problem with this thing called freedom of speech. You know, my mom spoke out, and they said, you know, we're on a plane coming to the United States. We were lucky. We were the lucky ones. We didn't get thrown right. in the gulag.
For sure.
But we came to the United States, and we were staying with my aunt and uncle in Hialeah, Florida. And they took us down to the store. And they said to my mom, get whatever you want.
Oh.
My mom was a really proud lady. She said, no, Norma, get whatever you want. And she walks over to this big can of spam and grabs and hugs it and starts crying.
Oh, wow.
So here I am, this 7-year-old kid, you know, I don't know what the hell, you know, what's going on here. And then one day when I was like about 8 or 9 years old, it hit me like a ton of bricks. It hit me like a ton of bricks. And I was like, Jesus, you know, there's still people suffering from that, you know?
Yeah.
You know, another story was the time where my mom was 5 years old. And my memory goes back. I think it's the autism. My memory goes back to when I was like a half a year old. I remembered things. I would tell my mom, hey, mom. And she, oh, yeah, that happened. I'm like, holy shit.
right.
So I was 5 years old. My mom was in the kitchen at my great-grandmother's house, and she was cooking some pork that she got on the black market because she couldn't get it on the what's called a libreta, the rationing book. And as she's cooking the pork, she's also burning newspaper. I'm like, well, you know, whatever. Maybe she's doing this to keep warm, you know. And then years later, I said, hey, mom, there was a time when you were cooking pork and burning newspaper at the same time. Why? Was that to keep warm? She goes, no, that was to cover up the scent of the pork that I was cooking that I acquired illegally. If my neighbors would have smelled it, they would have called the cops and I would have been arrested.
Holy sh!
Wow.
Not kidding. I am not kidding.
Wow.
I'm not very serious about many things in life. I'm just pretty happy-go-lucky kind of guy.
Yep. Yeah.
Those things I'm serious about.
Right.
And, you know, it's like I, you know, everybody says, have you been back to Cuba? And I ask, why would I want to go back to where I ran away from? What is the matter with you?
You know? Yeah. Yeah, let's go back to the terrible place that we left.
Surfing is illegal in Cuba. Surfing. Mm. It's illegal. There's a documentary about it. These guys are making these surfboards. They're smuggling materials into the country and everything. They're making surfboards, and they're chased down by the shore patrol boats and the police and everything. Surfing, something I grew up doing, is illegal. I'm like, you got to be defecating me, man. I mean, this is like... And people think that that's a wonderful model of socialism. Get the hell out of here. I'm not a political person, but when it comes to Cuba and the treatment of people and everything like that, I will speak my mind. And that it's not my mind. It's my experience that I will speak about.
Yeah. No, that's I can't surfing. What's that hurt? Yeah. It's a board in the water.
Exactly. And they can escape from the country.
Oh, well, oh, good point.
Well, okay, maybe.
Put that together there. Hey, I want to jump over real quick, do a chat check-in here, brought to you by our good friends at BMX Rocks. You got a lot of people in here, and I want to make sure we shout them out. You always bring the thunder, you bring the crowd and the lightning also, so... just going to jump over here real quick. And again, thanks to BMX Rocks. And our chat question this evening, for those of you guys tuning in now, if you guys didn't catch it, the chat question for the night.
For tonight.
Oh, shit, I got to start over. It was
the chat question.
Your favorite album, movie album. Like, what was your favorite soundtrack? What was your favorite movie soundtrack? That's what we were asking. We went around. We gave our answers. So if you haven't rewatched the beginning of the show, fast forward past the part we forgot to turn the mics on, and you can hear our answers, but we'd like to hear your answers. So if you're just joining us, your favorite movie album, throw it in the chat for us. But, you know, joining the show and saying hello, our sound guy, which if he would have been here, we might not have had muted microphones. Paul Remington, thanks. Adam Orovitz, Nick Shawana's in here. And they're all, these are people saying hi. John Ryan, he's saying hello. Thank you for joining us, you guys. Sean Gifford, Rick Carter, Melissa, who has the night off. She was tuning in to remind us, turn your mics off. Turn them on.
Turn them on.
Our good friend Mike Miller, Low and Slow Chase is joining us too. We mentioned Martin Kennard. We appreciate it. Ryan James Anderson says, you know.
Hey, Ronnie.
Rick Carter's joining us. Robert Cardoza. V. Deja. He joining us too. Frank, sorry. He says, Henry, meow, meow, Sierra Baby.
Frank Klimacki.
Thank you.
I love Frank. Frank's like a brother to me. He really is. Great friend. Great announcer, too.
Yeah, oh, good.
Hey,
great announcer.
Maybe we can line him up to host the show because he'd probably do a better job than I'm doing. Mike Miranda, the man himself, the Hack Shack's joining us in here, too. Sean Chapman. Thank you, guys. Gate 9 tuning in. We appreciate you.
Gate 9.
Let me slide down a little bit. Colin Stiles got the legend
in
here.
It's his birthday.
It's his birth. Did you want to slaughter his last name?
Oh, well, I know it, though. I need Stiles.
There you go.
Happy birthday.
You know, Colin is a Renaissance man.
Yes.
He's a Renaissance man. Yeah. He is truly the. You want to know about the Renaissance of BMX? And Colin's guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's why I said his name like that, is because my wife and I were on the Mighty Moe's cruise with him. Well, actually, last two times. And every time, like across the boat or so, he's like, beer.
Well, he's like
we'd look and wave.
A foot taller than everybody, so it just trots right.
Well, he's got that real deep,
yep,
you know, voice and stuff. So, happy birthday, Colin!
Absolutely, John Hinkle, thanks for joining us. Scott Sloan, there he is. Derek Stanfield, we appreciate you guys. Stu Thompson, as we said, Randy D'Artona, he's joining us. And thank you guys all for coming in, hanging out with us. Mo's in there. John Ryan again, thanks for the helping us out there. Brian Fell, the man himself from Florida, he just says, Florida does it better.
Yeah. He's the guy. If you want to know about the state series in Florida, get a hold of Brian Fell.
He prints everything for
us. Yeah, he takes care of it. He's part of the group that puts that on.
Yeah.
He's the information firsthand.
Yeah.
Or Alice Bixler.
Oh, the power couple from Cape Coral.
Are they
Nick
both
Jones and Jill's in here right now.
Hey.
Welcome to the part. We were just talking about you guys here a few minutes ago.
Chill with Jill.
That's right. And we got Richard Hartman. Roy Yeager said, hey, man, I tuned in time. We appreciate all you guys for joining in. And again, make sure you get your answer in the chat for your favorite movie soundtrack to get you hyped up for your bike riding. Not just racing, but any kind of riding. If you're mountain biking, we don't care.
Right on.
What is it you guys like to listen to? What soundtrack is it? And I know soundtracks are a little dated, but they're still out there.
Yeah. And if Justin just said your name, you make sure you like our Facebook page and like the actual show that's going right now. Just reach up there and hit that little thumb up, dude, for us. We'd appreciate it.
And Nick just chimed in. He said, the reason the state series in Florida works is because the track operators all come together for the greater good. And I totally can Agreed.
That's what it's got to be.
Yeah.
It's got to do.
I know they have like meetings and Zoom calls and things like that. Nick's, I've read his comments and his posts, and it's impressive that, you know, there's a lot that goes on for that product. And I'm sure there's a lot of sacrifices made and for the greater good of the sport. And, I'm not trying to beat up everywhere else, but, you know, take a little note and, you know, reach out to some of those track operators. They're listed right on the website or the, not Facebook, sorry. No, USA BMX, man.
I'm going to add something to that.
Please do.
That has a history, that meeting of the track operators. Remember, NBL was born in Florida. So was NPSA.
Mm-hmm.
That thing about meeting of the track operators, that was something in the NBL. They used to have at every state race, all the track operators would come together. They'd discuss the schedule, this, that, and the other. Whatever issue involved the series, they would discuss. There was cooperation. That was something in the NBL that dates back to 1974. And they were doing this in the state series out here until the demise of NBL in 2011. But, you know, the track operators, they would, you know, for a state race, they would close down their track to go to the state race at another track. So it was really cool. It was, and that's what that cooperation that you're seeing nowadays.
Yeah.
That's what's leading to that. That was a precursor to what you have now.
Okay. Do they still, is there a competition to Congress? They still do that?
They have,
like that was the, wasn't that the, that.
Well,
the
competition Congress was a NBL thing,
but did they,
but they had a USA BMX has, well, they had, I think with COVID, they quit doing that, but they would have something like each year, you know, it would be either in like Vegas or somewhere or Louisville.
Maybe I just read they're going to bring that back. Cause I went to that.
They need to.
I went to that as a representative for a track. And collaboration.
I've been to both, and they're both very similar.
National level, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nick did clarify that every track in Florida does close down on state race weekends.
Yep.
Which is another, you know, that's
yeah,
no, that's a good way to push people in your state series. Like, where are you going to go? USA BMX did Summit. Thank you, Alice.
Yeah, that's it.
Summit. Mama Bixler. You got Ryan Burke. He says, it ain't fun. Hank ain't doing it.
Yeah,
you got it, dude.
Ryan is one of the funniest people. There's this picture I remember he posted, and it's this look on his face, and it was like some mom of a 6-year-old novice asking for a factory sponsorship for her kid, and the look on Ryan's face is like it's like terror, you know. And Ryan's such a good guy, you know. Him and Natasha are just they're great people. I love them both.
Hank, you need to tell them that. Jump on the show. I'm going to message Ryan when we're done. You tell him he needs to be on the show.
Yeah. He has stories. He's definitely awesome.
Ryan, we're going to be reaching out to you.
Yeah, come on.
Hey, I got another question for you though. You ready? This is when it's coming off the iPhone chat line.
The iPhone chat line.
Dude, when you're on the show, people text, they go in the chat, they'll Facebook message me. They wanted to know if you know Dennis Wagner.
Wagner. Is this Anthony Morris asking this?
No, I don't know, but I got a screenshot from to say ask him why he called the show worthless. And
Dennis doesn't like me for some reason or another. You know, I got no issues with the guy. I respond back to him on No Holds Barred and my smart ass. You know, if you're going to, there's an old saying, if you're going to throw shit, shit's going to get thrown at you. You know, a food fight's a food fight.
Yeah.
And I got no hard feelings for the guy, you know, or no bad sentiment. He's always got nothing nice to say to me or about me. We did come to an agreement recently on something, and I was like, wow, you know, that was really cool. But I got no issues with him. He apparently has an issue with me. And,
well, two things.
You know, that's Dennis. I don't know him personally. I've never hung out with him. Okay. If I say anything about him, it's just like he makes stuff up about me, so I'll make stuff up about him.
Well, I can say the show.
It's all in one.
Your episode's far from worthless. The numbers are outstanding. And I can send a screenshot to him of the Google Analytics that's running right now in the background that, you know, when we talk about your name and No Holds Bars, how high that stuff ranks. So sorry to burst your bubble, but numbers don't lie.
Well, you know, this is not about bursting his bubble. Like I said, I got no issue with the guy. And if he's got some problem with me, that's his problem, not mine.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and Anthony Morris always tries to chime it up. And I got to say something about Anthony. He is a fantastic tattoo artist. If you're down in Long Beach, find a shop and get some work done. I've heard from some very reliable sources. He does wonderful work. And, you know, it's like he's always trying to pipe it up between Dennis and I. And I'm like, whatever.
Awesome.
I'm too old and too tired for this. I'm just having fun and laughing. That's all I'm doing. And it's all in fun to me. I don't take anything serious. I really don't. Not even myself.
You know, you get these guys on there like, Henry deleted my comment on No Holds Barred.
Thank you.
And I wanted to bring that up because I know that's not what's going on there. So do you want to address that or do you want?
I don't delete comments. I don't delete posts. If anyone does anything, it's definitely Facebook and their algorithm. You know, it's one of those things. Like, for example, I just had a post deleted. It was the funniest thing. It was that Phil Wood gentleman that he made a comment, and the comment was, yes, administrators are trannies. And he even spelled that. And the comment wasn't even up. I don't even know how long it was, but it was his comment, and it got taken down by Facebook for some kind of hate speech or something like that.
Probably, yeah.
Whatever. So I made the stupid mistake of screenshotting it and posting it as it was printed, and their algorithm caught that. And I got a one-day suspension from posting in any group that I'm in.
Wow.
BMX, it could be about skateboarding, it could be about snowboarding, it could have been about punk rock, whatever. I got banned from posting on every group on the face of the earth because of that. And today I made the post and said, Henry Soria, looks like you got popped by. Oh, wait, that's me.
Man, so 2 days ago, Henry, Damon that comes on the show and hosts sometime, like him, and we got hit, and another friend of mine, we were commenting in the chat, we were in like, they just, Facebook just went through and hammered all of us with digital right management dings. What? Yeah.
It was a show from like 2021.
Oh, yeah, we got hit on multiple stuff from years ago, and so did he does DJ mixes and stuff, but like they just went through and did another house cleaning like at an epic level.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
ours gets hit. We used to, back then, we would go to the tracks and live stream races, and it just didn't work because the cell towers, just the signal was terrible, and it was awful. But all these tracks play music in the background while the race is going on, and it got picked up on the mics that we were using at the track.
Yeah, and you have to make your clarification. We're not using music but it was still like we got hit by Sony and BMG, and Damon was getting hammered. Damon had one all the way 2017, he said. So I'm like, Facebook went through and did something.
They must have.
I've seen stuff from like 2000, early 2000s, like, well, mid, late, early 2008, get dinged on my account. I'm like, what the hell? You got to be kidding me. But this is ridiculous. Yeah, but I, you know, honestly, I don't remove any posts. I don't remove any comments. I don't have the time to do that. I don't have the desire to do that. You can say whatever you want about me. I'll leave it. I don't care. I really, like I said, I don't take anything serious, including myself. Yeah. I don't really care.
But there's only one. There's one rule.
What's your rule?
What's the one rule in No Holds
Barred? Make your posts about BMX and don't report people because I'm not going to delete their post. I'm not going to. Those are the only two. It's a one and a half rule kind of thing,
right,
you know?
Right.
Yeah. Might not be new. Newer to me is when you have somebody reporting it. I like how you say, maybe you accidentally reported them.
Well, that's so, I love that. That's Meredith Lidstone. She says maybe they accidentally reported it. Yeah. Now, remember, like I keep saying, I don't have a cell phone. I have.
Oh, that's right. So you're doing everything on a PC.
Exactly. And there's a reason for that. When I'm outside doing stuff, whether I'm today, I was skateboarding a drainage ditch. Yesterday, I was playing disc golf. The day before that, I was out on at the pump track on my dirt jumper. You know, when I'm out doing stuff, I don't want to be, you know, like this. Like, you know, you look at most of these kids that go to college here at UCSB, I watch them walking, and I said, you know, slaves of the blue screen, you know? I don't want to do that. There's so much beautiful stuff around me and so many cool people when they're not on the phone. I don't have time for that. The only time I do anything on the computer is when I get up early in the morning and I wish happy birthday to some people and check on family and friends and this and that. And then maybe at lunchtime when I come home and I'm doing something, maybe late at night if I'm goofing around. But I don't spend a lot of time behind the computer or behind a phone. And so I don't know the protocol for reporting. So Meredith Lidstone, she's always giving me a hard time. She's like my sister. And she said maybe they reported accidentally, and she explained it. I said, okay, that makes sense. So I'll give people the option to explain themselves. It's that, like that line from the, what's that show, Breaking Bad, when what's the one character, Gus Fring, confronts Walter White. He says, explain yourself, you know?
So right.
It's kind of like that. Explain yourself. Why did you report it by accident? And I give them that option. I don't mind options.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're really loose on that make it about BMX thing. I mean, you know, so as long as it's in there somewhere and it works into it, that's it. It's there. So it'll go.
You know, the thing about that is that I ask people to use their creativity and imagination, because that's something I see disappearing more and more every day. You know, I don't know if it's social media. I don't know if it's technology. You know, I'm an engineer, and I can't see, you know, how technology is benefiting us, you know, that particular technology for social media. But I can see that, you know, it does definitely restrain people's or constrain it, you know, imagination and creativity. You know, I could take a picture of a cat, like, cat that just walked by asking for food. I don't starve them, by the way. They're very well fed. And say, this cat, you know, he thinks he can put me out in turn one or something. Or he can snap me out of the gate. I'm making it about BMX. It's all I ask people to do. I'm not telling them. I'm asking them. Where it comes from, what I'm telling them is when I don't approve their posts. And then they get angry at me. And I'm like, well, come on. Everybody in the group knows it. Make it about BMX. That's all you got to do. The only rule of the group. And then the comments, you can say whatever you want. You could cuss out Biden. You could cuss out Trump. You could cuss out Hillary. You could cuss out, you know, whoever. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Just make your post about BMX. That's all I ask.
Yeah,
that's all I ask.
Yeah. And don't do any hate on other people.
Good luck with BMXers in that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. Well, BMX racers, let me rephrase that. BMXers in general, you know, the guys that are there dirt jumping and stuff, they just want to have a good time, have fun and everything. The racers, you know, I'm going to say it. One of the things that led me away from sanctioned races, people taking themselves a little too serious. Dude, you're a grown-ass person of a little kid's fight going over dirt piles. You're not getting paid to do this. You're paying to do this.
Yeah.
You know, I remember the days. Remember the days of the $400-$600 sponsorships where you paid a company $400-$600. You got a jersey and a frame. Factory sponsored. No, you're a paying consumer.
It's all there is. And I. Yeah. Oh, so hold please. I got because you're killing me. So.
Oh yeah.
I always look forward. Reel it in. I always look forward to the end of the season, a state season, especially. Because I'll start seeing the novice and inner maniacs posts and the non-main maker inner and experts, which, look, I am that. I fit into that last category. However, what I see is I want to thank my sponsors. The shit are you talking about? You don't have a fucking sponsor. You have a pay-to-play deal. Like,
yes.
Having... Don't. Like acknowledging a supporter, acknowledging a partner. Like I get it,
support.
But we can't put it under a sponsor when I got to pay for it or get a discount. Like thank you, you're a supporter.
Yeah.
But we can't word it in the manner like you're getting all this free. Like it's just hilarious. But I like
too.
That fact that this is happening because somewhere in an algorithm, somebody's seeing that outside the sport. Great. We got to figure out a better way. I'm speaking on behalf of BMX. Like.
Yeah. There's a huge difference between support and sponsor.
And I'll always ask, is what was handed to you with the only what they want in return is you to promote it. Like that is
that's a sponsorship,
right? Like support deals, bro. Chris bro knows deals. All about bro deals.
Why? All about
gonna be bro hitting deals. Up. He's gonna be hitting up Gate 9 after the show for another bro deal.
Hey, I'm wearing the shirt. Hey, this is a sponsorship. Billy gave me this shirt.
Yeah. So Henry, here's a perfect person. There's
from the animals.
Here's you're a perfect person to ask this, the bro deal. Now, I preface this with an example.
Should we explain that real quick for people listening that don't know?
Yeah, bro deals, bro. Like, you're constantly out asking every bro for a deal on something. Like, in BMX, it's crazy to me.
Nobody will pay retail for a part.
And I had somebody say this to you. Like, does that happen in archery? Does that happen in softball? And they're like, no.
Nope.
You just go in and pay the price. But in BMX, I have people reach out to me because we do the show. They're like, where can you get a deal on?
Yes,
you have insert a frame. I'm like, I don't try your bike shop. I don't know. I'd like to hear your thoughts.
From a lot of people. Like, hey, do you guys have a hookup at XYZ
No,
company?
I don't. Call the shop, whatever.
No.
But like, I'd love to hear your thoughts on like that weird, it's ingrained in the sport somewhere.
Everybody wants a sponsor.
It is. I'm going to say the following. It's nothing new. The first time I ever encountered this, it was really interesting. It was back in 1999. I was at it was an ABA National up in, where the hell was that? Madera. I think it was a spring national, something like that. It's way north of Bakersfield, like way past Fresno and stuff. And it was my friend Sal Carlos and my friend Richard Havig and myself and this other dad that came along with his kid. The dad didn't race, but the kid did. And, you know, I'd been out of the sport for 3 years or 4 years. I had that torn knee issue. And, but, you know, before I left the sport completely, I had a lot of friends. You know, I knew a lot of the same guys that I knew that were still racing in 98 when I got back into racing. And, you know, I'm walking around the pits and people are coming up to me, you know, like big names, whatever, that they're just friends of mine. And hey, what's up? How you doing here? And everything like that. And this guy,
right,
this dad of this 6-year-old kid, and the kid had the worst attitude ever. The kid had just the most worst attitude ever. And, this dad of this kid says to my friend Sal, he goes, wait a second. Hold on for a second. I got to do something here.
Do we have props for this story? I love it. Hey, you guys, thanks for tuning in this evening and get your questions and comments in the chat. We appreciate it.
Yep.
So I'm sorry about that. My wife just got home from a board meeting. So what happens is dad says to my friend Sal, wow, I gotta get Henry to hook me up. He knows a lot of famous people. And I'm like, and then Sal told me that, and I was like, they're famous? They're just like my friends. They can ride a bike excellently over a BMX track, but they're my friends. They're not, you know.
Yeah.
I just don't get that. And that was the first time I ever had any exposure to that, the bro deal thing, you know. And it's like, I've never relied on that. You know, and you know, one of the guys that really helped me out at one time was actually Derek Stanfill. He hooked me up with Basics Frames. And I said, no, I'm paying full price for them. And he's like, no, I'll give him a reduced price. No, I'm paying full price. So, you know, the same thing with Jimmy McNeil with Bulldog. He wanted to cut me a deal. I said, no, I pay full price. I don't, you know, it's a tough industry you know, it's a tough industry as it is. Why would I want to take away from it? I don't want to do that. That's not me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So, like, so clarification, if you're paying any money, even if it is a discount, one, that's a bro deal. Two, that's...
We're hashing this out tonight.
This just irks me. So
grinds Chris's gear is coming to you right now.
That is support. You're getting support. They're helping you out.
Greg Esser wants to know if he can get a hookup.
With what?
He just wants a hookup from you.
Okay. All right, we'll take care of that.
Hey!
Greg Esser chiming in.
Oh my gosh. You know, I always said Greg was one of the first true pros in Florida. He was the epitome of one of the first, him and his brother.
Did you ever get a chance to catch when he was on here? I know it's hard with the time delay and how you work, but it was.
Hey, this picture right here that you're showing.
Yeah.
That's 17. That's Greg back there. That's Greg. He that was a lucky lap for me, by the way. I'm going to say that was a lucky ass lap. I don't even know how the hell I got on front, but that's Greg on the 17 bike in that picture. That was at the Bicycle Center track in summer of 1974.
Wow. So
that's awesome.
We were referred to get, you know, Greg on and, got a phone number. We might've shared some text or something, but I knew the name I knew of, but I was like, you know what? I don't want to have like long, lengthy calls or anything. And I'm telling you, like it was just like two friends, like all of us, right? We all get in. It was just like a group of friends. He was so chill. And like, it was a great, just great interview, great meeting interview. Him. Yeah. And I think we just barely scratched the surface, you know?
Yeah. That's definitely a moment.
But like when he was on, it's like when you're on, man, like the numbers are up, people are chatty. They're sharing stories. They got questions that they're throwing in the chat. Their chat, the FYIs, it's on a screen over here. That's why Chris and I all look that way.
Yeah. That's how we're kind of,
yeah.
There was something I was talking to a friend of mine recently, and I said, the Esser family did more for BMX, not just for Florida, but nationally and internationally than people even realize.
Yeah.
You know, it was
some of the stories we've heard. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, George started NBL, and Greg and Brian were, you know, two of the first established pros, two of the first like real factory sponsored guys in Florida. And then, you know, then Garrett Doze gets involved. And then you have the birth of International BMX Foundation in Europe, which now made BMX international. Greg, I don't ever downplay anything involving the Essers at all, because what you have now is a function of the Essers.
Yeah.
Two people I'd like to see. Three. There's three people I'd like to see on Jeopardy. BMX Jeopardy. Hank's one of them.
BMX Jeopardy.
Colin and Johnny Johnson. Like, you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Woo-wee.
Oh, my God.
We got to set
Johnny
that up.
Johnson, you talked about an encyclopedia on the other group that I run, Old School Classics and Racing BMX. Johnny Johnson, I'll post a picture, and he'll be like.
He is.
He can tell you.
That. He'll name everybody in there, and I'm like.
Yeah.
How do you know this? You know, and it's like amazing. He is an amazing historian. Yeah. He's just a great DJ too, and super nice human being. Mm-hmm. Just super nice.
We had him on a couple of years ago now, probably, but yeah, that it was amazing. You almost wanted to just pull out like an old magazine and just turn to open a page and go, "Here, who is this?"
We did. Yeah, I think we did.
We just started
on the show.
He named everybody, didn't he?
Well,
yes.
He was saying his process for it, and he's like. I think he sent me on a, you know, to go pull a picture up, and then he walked us through how he figures it out, because he can remember tracks, which way they were laid out, what the turns look like. Like, it was really interesting. I'm pretty sure we did it on just a Facebook picture or something that we went and grabbed.
It was cool.
You got a couple more people that just popped in that want to say some kind words about you. Mark Rink, saying hi and shout out. Chris Luna. Jumped in saying hi, and Nicholas Michael, that's his alias, he runs the Cape Coral track. He's, you know, he's really impressed with everything so far, so
really impressed.
It's that picture. So this is my first night back at Ealing's Park. It was at the time of Santa Barbara BMX. Mm-hmm. That's Ealing's Park now, but that was my first night back of racing after 4 years of being out. That was that picture. You know, the thing, it's so interesting. That's working on the track and me holding a gopher snake. Was, you're not afraid of snakes? I go, dude, I'm from Florida. It's kind of like that line in that there's this movie called Blood Diamond. Was this woman says to this
great
guy,
movie.
Says, oh, the white South African goes, I'm from Rhodesia. And she's like, we call it Zimbabwe now. He goes, we do? You know, it's really funny because Johnny Johnson, there was this one picture that I made a meme from, and the meme, the wording on it says, nobody remembers or cares who won the race. Everybody remembers who did the raddest jump in that race. And there's this picture of this kid And it was at Rancho San Diego with this one jump, and he's doing like this flatted out tabletop. He's in second place. He doesn't care. He's in blue jeans and a long sleeve t-shirt. Everybody else is factory dressed, you know, the guy on front of him, the guy behind him. Yep. Johnny identified the track, the bikes, and everybody in that picture.
That is so cool.
Everybody. It's,
yeah.
He's amazing. He is a source. He is an absolute source. Yes. Yeah. You know, it's just fantastic, the legacy that he carries with him. I have a lot of respect and like for Johnny. He's just a lot of people. I really do. I really like a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And Johnny's one of those guys that just, you know, he makes a conversation so cool, you know, about BMX. He makes it about BMX, and he knows it, you know?
Yeah.
He totally knows it.
Yeah. No, he's a good dude. Definitely had him on.
We should have him on again.
I was just going to say that we should have him come back again.
Yeah, we'll get Hank to find a handful of pitchers before he comes on. We'll try to stump him with Hank's picks.
You know, and I have to say that Johnny, his whole thing is mostly California, you mm-hmm. know, but
sure.
he followed the national scene too. So you can show him pictures in somewhere,
yeah,
Mississippi, and he'll say, oh, yep, there you go, you know.
Yeah. And that's not the only thing. You're right. He not only knows the riders, but he'll tell you, I think that's this track, and, you know, da da da. And he'll, like you said, he'll whip it. Take it all out.
I remember him saying from that show, he was figuring out the rider by the number plate.
Yeah.
It was wild. It's a good one. Go back, watch that one.
Yeah, go check it out.
I have to. I definitely have to.
Yeah. It's a good one. Man, we're getting close on time here, so I wanted to ask a few more questions. Chris, did you have anything that was popping up?
No.
Okay.
I was more, you know, the stuff I already brought up.
Good. Okay. Know,
the bro deal, the sponsorship, all that. Still going on. Crap.
What did we start?
What we started is we're going to get Giphy over at Digo Apparel to make I Want a Bro Deal t-shirt with Chris on it.
No.
That's how we'll get to.
No.
So this shirt brand, this is a brand, a company called Arm the Animals. And
Army Animals.
All the proceeds they get, it goes to animal rescues. I'm a big animal lover. Mm-hmm. I really love animals.
Cool.
And, you know, and I support them. I buy. And somebody thought I was getting a bro deal or sponsored by it. No, dude, I buy these. I pay for these, like, out of pocket. You know, I got all those sweatshirts and t-shirts, but I don't get anything for free. I buy them, you know. Because I always have these shirts on, and somebody's like, dude, are you sponsored by this guy? No, I don't know. But, you know, bro deals are, you know, like I say, BMX is something that's, it's not a very big industry. It's not a very, not very vast.
Small compared to a lot of
them. Shimano called BMX a drop in the bucket.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
For them,
Shimano called that. And I, you know, it's tough enough for anybody. You know, you got guys like Bill Ryan who are always busting their butt to, you know, keep Supercross going. You got guys like, you know, you got Brian Fell with his mega. You got all these people that are doing all this stuff. Yeah. And, you know, why do you want to take from them? You know, if they give you something, they'll give you something. But support them, man. You know, pull a little money out of your pocket. I have. There's no big deal behind that. There really isn't.
Yeah.
There's no shame in that. There's no shame in paying for something. But don't try to swindle stuff, you know.
We're BMXers. All you got to do is just say you're going to put some stickers in there, crazy. You can overcharge. You can overcharge for stuff, which I'm not saying anything I bought is overcharged. But you'd be like, free stickers with it.
It's all you
got
to do.
It's like that meme that says, "But honey, I got free stickers, but you spent $900 on bike parts."
Right here. What? BMX race supply. We got stickers.
Which, hey, I told him he said we got fresh new stickers. He made a post, and I'm like, well, that's all that took. Got to go buy some stuff.
No, we got stickers right here on the desk.
Danger
and the one on the microphone too. Yeah.
Nice catch, by the way. We just did that tonight.
Yep. Carly Kane too.
We have the Carly Kane on this sticker. Mic. We've got a picture that BMX Rocks Photography. Well, they took a picture of Melissa and I at Toledo and made it a sticker.
Yeah.
So we go, Melissa and I go around a different place. Well, I do. And I go just randomly put a sticker of her and I on just wherever. I used to have a few in my wallet.
I will have to tell you guys a story about some stickers in private sometime.
Okay.
It's a story to share on here, but I'll talk to you guys.
All right. We'll leave that to. to.
Well,
but you said you had something you wanted to.
Well, I just, you know, keep up everything you're doing at No Holds. It's everything you guys are doing. You're making things happen, and it's we need that for the sport. So, you know, I appreciate it. And I'll tell you, I don't ever get tired when you're on the show. We always have great talks.
Yes.
You know, and it's always
you guys, what you guys do is fantastic. I you know, all I do is I just give people a platform to run their mouths or their keyboards. You know, somebody tried to say that I have an attitude about it. I go, no, I don't have an attitude about it. You know, going back to the thing I said earlier about, you know, the First Amendment, Cuba, you know, having a problem with freedom of speech. You know, freedom of speech is a right. But with rights comes another R word, and that's called responsibility. And like I said the other day and to somebody, I said, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. You have to be smart. You know, we got this thing called an algorithm now that's kind of pursuing, I wouldn't say it's pursuing free speech, but it's kind of, you know, long story short of it is, you know, think about what you're going to say. Be smart about it. Don't, you know, but the thing is, you guys are doing the real work, not me. I just put a bunch of, just brought a bunch of crazy people together to just spout off, and I've given the platform. I've given them the platform to do so, and you know, it's nothing to have an attitude or an ego about. I think it's, you know, it actually humbles me at times because some people come up with some really interesting facts, and it really humbles me at times. So you know,
and that's
what you guys do. That humbles me too. I mean, it really does. You guys do a great job, and I really appreciate that.
And we thank you because we're thanking each other. Like for all the support from the get go, like when I would post as the Michigan BMX podcast show, when we started, you were right there to help let us post in, you know, No Holds, and, you would approve of those posts for those shows. And like, I don't even think I knew what it was, but we really do appreciate that, 'cause it helped us get a lot of exposure over there. And as we've grown, it's, you know, it's been nice. How long has, your Facebook group been on? Like, how long has it been going?
Wow. No Holds Barred?
Yeah.
Yeah. How long?
Since 2018.
Wow.
Wow. I mean, that's a long time. That's a good 6 years right there. July will be 6 years. You know, like I said, it all started because I got kicked out of a group. All I said, and all I said was, Vic Bem should either consider a sanction that's going to put up with his shenanigans, or at least one that'll put the dollar amount on the prize checks. And somebody in the group got upset. Next thing you know, I get back from a race up in Prunedale and 4-star race. And I'm like, I can't get in the group. Oh yeah, you've been kicked out. Okay. And then my wife, being the instigator that she is, she says, well, why don't you start your own group? So NHB is actually her doing. It's actually her doing.
So it's your wife's fault.
Wow, we appreciate it.
Yeah.
So that's in that picture. That's Sam Meek. Talk about one of the OG guys.
Yep.
From Las Vegas.
Good dude.
Sam is, you know, he still made that sticker.
Here's a cool story with Sam Meek. We hadn't. I don't know if we had him on the show yet or not.
You did.
No, we did. Yeah, Melissa and I went to Vegas. And I don't know if he had been on the show. No, because we hashed it out, him being on the show when I was out there for National. And, we just knew each other through BMX, right? Through the Brotherhood of BMX. And, like, without a, you know, we were at the arena, had to go to our hotel. Didn't even question it. I got you guys a ride. Don't worry. I'll take you. You know, just the nicest guy, as all BMXers are. You know, and then when he was getting his clothing line that, not everyone was ready for. I was.
Politically incorrect.
I could deal with it.
Oh, I loved it. He needs politically incorrect back on the map.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, I got scorched for posting a picture on that said I did your mom or something like that.
No, your BMX
mom.
Yeah, I did your BMX mom. Woo, did I get scorched by a bunch of Karens on that one. Like, maybe not.
I have the factory dad one. You might be a factory dad if, and there's about 15 of them that go down the shirt.
Yeah. Sam, and wait, hey, Sam, I hope everything's going well and you're doing better, my friend, and get well.
We're praying for you, bud.
You know, we're pushing for him. I mean, he's going through some tough times, and Yeah. You know, it's something that I wouldn't wish on anybody. Yeah. You know, I really could. I don't have the lack of heart to do that.
Yeah, send positive vibes, you know, Sam's way.
It's just, it's tough. It's a tough one. And Sam's such a good person, you know.
Yeah.
The only reason he could ever beat me in a race was he'd make me laugh. Maybe. I start laughing. And
maybe I've been doing this all wrong.
I just don't care, you know. I just feel like I'd start laughing, and, you know. No, that the story behind that is it was a race in Sun Valley NBL track. It was a state qualifier. No, it was a national. And we're going down the last straight. He said something. I just started laughing and I started like wobbling on the bike. You know, it was just good times. Sam's just good people. He really is.
Yeah.
He's what we call in Spanish buena gente.
Yeah. He has some awesome Vegas stories.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah.
Fire.
Some include Tracer Finn.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. A lot of them do.
Another class dude right there, Tracer.
Oh, yeah.
Well, again, we're going to, you know, well, now we are at that timeline. So I want to say thank you. We always do, we're going to put the camera over to you for any shout outs and thanks. And then we'll wrap it up. Oh, when we come back after that, though, we'll mention who's on the show next week. It'll be a fun one.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Well, hey, I just want to say thank you to everyone on No Holds Barred. And, you know, thank you for making it a, you know, lively group. I mean, I really appreciate that you're exercising your right to say what you need to say or want to say. I really appreciate it. And no, I don't remove posts or comments. So, you know, rest assured of that. And want to thank all my friends out here, and you know, that I see on a daily basis, or not a daily basis, but you know, whenever I go to these events, you know, like Dirty Fest and Frogtown and stuff like that. Mike Miranda, Justin Shepard, Eric Carter, Jim Broadlow, Todd Huffman, Vicente, you know, the John Valdez, all those people, the Garcias from Four Star Series, Mary and Jim Garcia, they do a great thing.
Yep.
Dale Holmes does a fantastic, you know, program with the kids.
Yeah.
So many good people, so many good people across the board, and, you know, gives us a lot to aspire to. Mm-hmm. That's what I really appreciate about everybody.
Well, thanks.
Well,
and
we appreciate you being on with us. So
you're gonna let him know, Chris, next week.
We're gonna talk to Eddie Sciola.
Yeah.
So we'll find out what Eddie's up to. I know he's getting involved with some of the Dirty Fest stuff, and I think he's getting involved with. Well, we'll find out about Torker is coming back.
Yeah.
Via Bill Ryan and the Supercross guys over there. So we'll find out a little bit about that. I know he's got something going on with Bill and those guys over there. So we'll find out about a little bit about Torker and Dirty Fest and what else he's got going on. And
I just, you know, I'm going to fit this in real quick.
Sure.
We've got some big shows coming up. They're always big, first of all. But
yeah,
we have our 200th show coming up, which,
yeah,
when you look across the scope of podcasts, not just in BMX,
to
do 200 shows, we're a weekly podcast show, you know, live stream podcast. I look at that now, and that's a lot of work, a lot of dedication by, you know, us involved and our guests and, you know, everyone that tunes in. But we've got, you know, Eddie Fiola next week. After that, one of our very first guests, Mighty Mo. It's going to be our 200th show. We're going to talk about his cruise.
Oh, sweet.
We've all got Moses to experience Tillman. It. I promise it won't be an hour and a half commercial for Mighty Mo. Probably will, because I got tons.
We got cruise stories.
It's a great, great experience. But, you know, following that, there's, you know, we got Toby Henderson, Tom Johnson, who, you know, some people kind of forgot he won the Grands this year in that 55 and over expert class.
I think there was an elbow involved somewhere along the way.
People's elbow got dropped. And, you know, Tom has just colored racing history. Todd Huffman. You know, we got Nick Jones from Cape Coral coming in, and Greg Esser's coming back on. Gork will be back on. Like, these are all upcoming shows. So we're going to keep it going.
Yeah.
And we're really looking forward to, you know, for that 200 show. But we're going to just keep going. You know, Ryan Burke, we're going to book you into.
Yeah. We'll get them all.
Yeah.
Anybody you guys want to see, let us know.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
I'll send the list.
Sure.
It so much easier. When Chris makes the posts and he'll go,
yeah, we haven't done that in a while.
He'll go, who do you guys want to see on the show? I'm like, that's the greatest post ever, because Then all I'll do is just take the names and be like, hey, da, 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 and ask them, and boom, next thing we got them booked. It's great.
Yeah.
Yes, Chris Moeller's on that list. He's busy with Unclick now. Now he's a co-host on there, but I'll reach out to him, Randy, and see what we can do to get him on here. He'd be, you know, back to what we talked about earlier with Bro Deals. There's a company, you know, with buying U.S. Steel, where he talked on one of his shows on the Unclick. Great, great show, too, by the way, where, you know, how hard it's been sourcing the materials to keep the, you know, to keep in line.
And oh, buying steel?
Just, yeah, he did such a good job breaking that down in that story to where you're like, I don't want a Bro Deal at all.
No, steel.
As I was saying, they're struggling.
Yeah. Here it is. Here it is. Here's the T-shirt.
Okay.
It's the Hank and Chris No Bro T-shirts. No more Bro Deals. Ladies and gentlemen, it happened tonight. We're going to get into production. No more Bro Deals. In Bro Deals.
You got everybody thinking I'm like the Bro Deal King.
Bro Deals until Chris hits up gate 9 after the show for what he needs. So we'll wait till then.
Yeah, I got to talk to Bro. Yeah. After that, everything's up. No.
All right, you guys. Thank you guys for
that's
tuning.
That's why I wore the Gate 9 shirt.
Tonight. Thank you all.
Yeah, Hank, hang out if you got time. Yeah. We're going to jump off here, and we'll chit-chat and Zoom real quick. All right. But you guys, thanks again. Really appreciate it. Had a great time. You guys have a good night.
Yes. Everybody, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. Eddie Fiola's next week. We'll see you here at 8 o'clock Wednesday. And God bless you all. Have a great night. We'll see you next week.